Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome once more to Food for the Journey. And today we celebrate the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. So many, many examples in Catholic history of people gathering to pray the Rosary and literally seeing miracles. But today I don't want to talk so much about the miracles, though there are plenty of them to talk about. I want to talk about what part does Mary, the mother of Jesus, what part does she play in your life? She is our mother. She is our mother. She's given to us to pray for us, to pray in such a way that she can help to lead us safely home to her son. John Paul put it this way. He said, it could be said that each mystery of the Rosary, carefully meditated, sheds light on the mystery of man. To pray the Rosary is to hand over our burdens to the merciful hearts of Christ and His Mother. The Rosary does indeed mark the rhythm of human life, bringing it into harmony with the rhythm of God's own life. In the joyful communion of the Holy Trinity, our life's destiny and deepest longing, whether we know it or not, the deepest longing of our lives is for union with God. As we pray the Rosary, many times our Mother opens our eyes to help us to see this. Through the Rosary, says St. John Paul, the faithful receive abundant grace as though from the very hands of the Mother of the Redeemer. I also read in Magnificat magazine a very touching story of a woman in great sorrow. Her daughter, her little daughter, very small at the time, the younger of her two children, Catherine Violet, was a victim of the Sandy Hook elementary school shooting several years ago. You remember that, where so many small children died. And this is what Jennifer, Catherine Violet's mother, says this. She tucked her rosary beads into my hand and suggested we pray. It was while they were waiting for knowledge that their children were safe or had died. She tucked her rosary beads into my hand. There's a friend, comes by, doesn't speak, just puts the rosary in her hands and suggested we pray. Sitting quietly, our voices united with a sense of urgency, Hail Mary, full of grace. We trusted that in her compassion, she would intercede for us and envelop us in her grace and the peace we desperately needed. The beads, they rolled through my fingers and centered my mind. Holy Mary, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. I felt dead, and yet somehow I was still inhaling the air of this earth, and the words came easily. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. The beads found shelter in my pocket in the days and the months that followed. I would automatically reach for and wrap my fingers around them. During her funeral mass, I squeezed so tightly that the beads created craters in my fingertips and kept my thoughts on the only place I found comfort, our Father, who art in heaven. Even now, when words are few and tears are great, I reach for her beads. In that instant, my mind goes to Mary, my mother, and God, my father. My prayers and remembrances become centered on grace, discernment, forgiveness, and the ability to cast aside the fear and the angst of this world. His peace fills me and restores my breathing. The rosary beads are a gift to me, a gift to teach me, show me, remind me to center my thoughts on Him. It is His gift to help me feel the peace He longs to give. It's one woman's faith journey after the death of her son and the part that the rosary has played in her life over a number of years now. What place does Mary have in your life? Ask God to reveal his mother to you. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal his mother to you. First reading today is a continuation of Jonah, chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Jonah, God bless Jonah. First, he ends up in the belly of a fish. The second time, he goes through Nineveh, and he does what God tells him to do. He cries out for Nineveh's repentance, and they repent. That's what we heard yesterday. Now, look at this. Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry that God did not carry out the evil he threatened against Nineveh. He prayed, "I beseech you, Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? This is why I fled at first to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, rich in clemency, loath to punishment. So, Lord, please take my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live." See, he's prophesying now, and he just wanted to see Nineveh destroyed for their wickedness. He was glad to be now a disciple, in a certain sense, of God, and he wanted to see them get the punishment for what the wickedness that they had inflicted on so many others. But what happens is that they hear the message of repentance, and lo, they repent. And so we see, even here in the Old Testament, the mercy of God. But Jonah doesn't like that. Hey, they're mean, they're evil. Kill them, destroy them, get rid of them. How much does that often work in our hearts, and yet it's not the heart of God. God will always hold out mercy to the last moment of this life. For every person, he will hold out mercy. We can choose to accept or reject, but he will hold out mercy. And then he says, "Please, Lord, take my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live." But the Lord said, "Have you reason to be angry?" Jonah then left the city for a place to the east of it, where he built himself a hut and waited under it in the shade to see what would happen to the city. He's still hoping that they'll be destroyed. And when the Lord God provided a gourd plant that grew up over Jonah's head, giving shade that relieved him of any discomfort, Jonah was very happy over the plant. But the next morning at dawn, God sent a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. And when the sun rose, God sent a burning east wind, and the sun beat upon Jonah's head till he became faint. And then Jonah asked for death, saying, "I would be better off dead than alive." You know, it's just everything goes wrong. But God said to Jonah, "Have you reason to be angry over the plant?" "I have reason to be angry," Jonah answered, "angry enough to die." My goodness, his anger is great, isn't it? Anger can take control of us, can't it? So that we say unreasonable things. And then the Lord said, "You are concerned over the plant which cost you no labor and which you did not raise. It came up in one night, and in one night it perished. Should I not be concerned over Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who cannot distinguish their right hand from their left, not to mention the many cattle?" What God is saying here is that you're saying to me, I shouldn't forgive them, that I shouldn't have mercy on them, that I shouldn't even have mercy on the livestock. Nothing. Is that what you're saying? These people can't distinguish their right from their left. In other words, they don't know me. They don't know the truth. They repented without fully understanding who I am. So I will have mercy upon them. And again in the New Testament, brothers and sisters, what do we hear? Go and do likewise. Hard, yes. Go and do likewise. And the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, now they asked, teach us how to pray. And this is what he said. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us. Can you pray the Lord's Prayer? In the modern translation of the Lord's Prayer, we say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So what we're saying to God is, forgive me the way I'm forgiving this other person. What's it going to be like for you? Where are you holding on to grudges, resentment, bitterness, jealousy, hatred? Where are you holding on? If you don't forgive, you will not receive the kingdom of God. Forgive doesn't mean that the sin against you doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that. I'm going to say this again. John Paul told us so clearly that forgiveness is not the opposite of justice. But it is the opposite of resentment and revenge. If you need some kind of recompense for something someone has destroyed that belongs to you, you can do that, whether it's reputation or property. You can ask for that. You can ask for justice, but not out of a spirit of seeking revenge and seeking to destroy. In the end, the only person that will affect is you. You will end up being destroyed, and you don't want that. You do not want that. So we need to pray the Lord's Prayer every day and to pray it with great sincerity, to mean it. Lord, I know this is what the Lord's Prayer says, and I don't think I have the means to forgive this person. Help me. Help me to want it. You know, sometimes we can't even say, I want to forgive. We don't. We really don't want to forgive. We want to hold on to the grudge, hold on to the anger. Well, brothers and sisters, you end up poisoning yourself more than the person you want to poison. You become shriveled and hard and bitter. And after a while, people don't even want to be around you. That's what happens ultimately. But if you forgive, you may ask someone to make recompense for what they have done to you. You can ask for that if that's necessary. But then you forgive, you let go. That means you don't speak against them and you will do good to them. Doesn't mean they have to be your closest friend, but you will not speak against them and you will do good for them wherever that's needed. May God give you that grace. God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.